Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Be Inspired with Michelle G Show. I'm your host, Michelle G. If you would like to call in with your questions or comments, that number is 1-929-477-2554. Again, that number is 1-929-477-2554. Before I really begin, I just want to say briefly, if you guys will please forgive my voice tonight. My voice is normally raspy, but it's a little bit more raspy because I'm battling this sinus allergy thing with the pollen and everything, but I am on. It's great to be back this week. It doesn't happen often, but sometimes my other hats that I'm privileged to wear conflict with the showtime, and there was somewhere else I needed to be on last week, so I didn't do a show, but I'm back tonight. And tonight's show is going to be a great one, and I know I say that about every show, and every show is a great one because it's designed to motivate, to encourage, and to inspire others. So tonight's show is going to be a great one, and I have joining me tonight a wonderful woman who is an educator, an author with a love for the youth. I have joining me tonight Miss Ogun, and you guys know, I paused right there because you guys know that I am bad with pronouncing names, so I will ask for forgiveness now and wait to be corrected when I bring her on, and I'll be bringing her on in just a few moments. Miss Ogun is the author of the new book, Chasing the Horizon. Her passion for storytelling combined with a strong desire to help people realize their self-worth inspired a novel that will be shared in conversations about life struggle and self-awareness. Born in Philadelphia in 1975, her Nigerian parents, who were in the country on student visa, were asked to leave to Nigeria once their visa expired. At the age of three, she moved to Nigeria and came back to the States, specifically Atlanta, Georgia, in 1988. She attended Georgia State University, where she majored in mathematics with a concentration in secondary education. She currently lives in Atlanta, where she is raising her three children and is focused on writing compelling novels that will tell real stories of women. I'm going to go ahead and bring her on. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for joining me tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm glad to be on.
And I do want to ask a big favor. Can you please pronounce your name?
It's pronounced Fahayai Ogun.
Ogun.
Yeah.
Fahayai. Oh, Fahayai. Mm-hmm. Okay. See, I didn't pronounce your first name because I felt like I would have a better chance at getting the last name right than I would the first name. So I didn't even attempt because I'm really bad with pronouncing names. So I do apologize. But I got it now.
Okay.
Bahayai. Okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Bahayai. Okay, I got it. I'm feeling good about myself right now. And that's a beautiful name.
Thank you. I heard you stutter initially before saying the name, and I'm like, yeah, I'm used to that. In college, my professors would always wait for me to raise my hand before they would actually call on me. No one would just flat out like go for high idol. Oh yeah, you, yes, go ahead.
Because, you know, you don't want to mess up someone's name. And I was like, okay,
exactly.
As I was reading, I was like, okay, you know what, Michelle? You better just try the last name. Don't even attempt to do the first. And just go ahead and apologize beforehand. So,
you did fantastic.
Okay, I think I got it. Fahayai. Did I do
that?
Yeah.
And first, let me say this, too, that my voice is normally not this raspy. I am also battling something. I don't know what this is. Like, it's been going on for like 3 days. I'm like, where is my voice? I've been drinking tea, drinking water. But I guess I talk all day anyway. And maybe I did too much talking yesterday. But, yeah, so excuse my voice.
I did that in the beginning because my voice is normally raspy, but now it's a little bit worse because the pollen down in South Carolina, the pollen is horrible. And I'm better today because on Saturday and Sunday, I sounded like a man, honestly. It was that bad. So I was like, I got to get something done, because if not, I cannot do my show sounding like this. They may say, think that I said my name is Michelle, but I might mean Michael. So because I sounded like a Michael.
Gotcha. I don't know what mine sounds like
together.
Right now. Exactly.
We'll just be two raspy people on the air.
Exactly.
I'm so happy that you decided to be on the show. I want to jump right in. I want to begin because I really want to get to a discussion about chasing the horizon. But before I get to that, I have a few questions. And from reading your bio, I can see that you were born in the States, but then you moved to Nigeria. And you stayed there for about 10 years. And having the experience of two different countries, do you think that impacted, had an impact on the path that your life has taken?
Completely changed my entire trajectory. I don't know what my life would have been like had I stayed in Nigeria growing up. And I don't know what my life would have been like had we not moved back to Nigeria. Had we not moved back to Nigeria when I was four. It definitely had an impact. Growing up in Nigeria, having one way of thinking, and then coming to the United States or coming back to the United States with that way of thinking, which is completely different from the culture here. It was an adjustment. I had to learn how to be again, because I've been one way, and then coming here, the school system was different. The way people interacted with each other, different. So it was an adjustment. The biggest thing I would say, of course, my accent changed. It changed my whole outlook. I think when I was younger, I was thinking, before I came, I was thinking of going to secondary school, which is like high school here. And thinking of going to college. College is also different from here. You focus on what you're going to do. Like if you're going to be an accountant, that's what you do. Like here you have your undergrad, and then let's say you wanted to go and do a specialty, then you go back for your master's or something like that. But there, if you want to be a doctor, you go to medical school. You know, you just study what it is that you want to do. And it doesn't really give you room to deviate into who you are. You know, it's kind of set in stone. If you if you're good in math, you take a test for math, or to be get into science or something like that. So I was looking forward, even at 12 when I came, I was just looking forward to, before I came out, I was looking forward to being in something, but not knowing what, because I'm sure my parents would have helped in making that decision for me, because that's what Nigerian parents do. They kind of dictate what your life is going to be like. I was looking forward to that. And, you know, of course, getting married, that life. Then when you come here, you know, you have that freedom to think independent of others. You know, you can dream of things that you could be. You know, you can say, I want to be an author. You know, it's just abilities are just huge. You know, it's a lot. So I think that is the biggest thing, is to be able to have possibilities and know that a lot of them can come true.
Wow. And you know what? It's so interesting. I love the way you describe it, because it's almost like you can get a visual of how you're describing when you were there, and you know, you with the school system, you had to be, you know, whatever it was. It's like you were in that box. That was the only box you could be in. You couldn't be outside of that. And then you came here, and it's like, okay, wow, I could do this, and I could do this.
Yeah.
And I can have this if I want.
Exactly. Like if you go into the, like just about the schools, for instance, you know, you cannot, well, first of all, we all wore uniforms. I mean, a lot of schools did that here. We're very structured, very disciplined. You cannot speak out of turn. You obeyed the teacher. And here, and you do exactly, I mean, you obey the teacher, so you have to do what they actually do, right? There's no room for your opinion. What the teacher says is law. I remember once, you know, because I've always been good at math, and a teacher was writing something on the board, and I think she wrote something that was incorrect.
Yeah.
And I wasn't paying much attention, but when she wrote whatever she wrote on the board, I noticed it was wrong, and I raised my hand up to correct her. That was the last time I ever did that. She requested that I stick my hands out and took a ruler and hit it. And I was like, got it. Never again will I make I would never correct a teacher again, ever. So that is the biggest difference. And then when I came here, seeing students talk while the teacher, I mean, it was disrespectful, but to see that the children were a bit free even to speak when they wanted to, you couldn't do that back home. Like, there's no way you can do that. So that was a culture shock for me to see that you can be free. So I'm sitting in the classroom and I'm watching these kids running around or talking, and I'm like, wow, this is so different. Can I speak too? I don't know.
Was it hard for you to break what you were so used to, and you know, as far as like being in the classroom and not being able to speak, and was it hard for you to break and adjust to the way that it is here in the States, where you can just, you know, it's okay to voice your opinions?
Yeah.
Was it hard to make that?
It wasn't hard to do, because I think as a kid, almost you want to do that. You want to be free. You want to express yourself. So having that opportunity for me, and then also, as a kid, I was a bit rebellious in that sense, where I wanted to express myself. I wanted to do my own thing. So coming here and having that opportunity to do that was liberating. It was something that I was excited to be a part of, to be able to speak my mind. It was like, yay, I'm free. I enjoyed watching them express themselves. Yeah, I wanted to participate. I wanted to... I remember hearing the language and how people spoke. You know, we would say Peter, no, Pita. And then here you guys would say Peter. You know, I would hear like water, and we used to say water. You know, it's just the little differences that I noticed was fascinating to me. So it wasn't hard to necessarily adjust, but it was fascinating to just watch how different we were.
Wow, I just love it, and I've always wanted to, and I've spoken it into the atmosphere because I want to travel internationally. I just want to have that experience, and I've, like I said, I've spoken it into the atmosphere, and I've you know, I'm speaking those things that are not as though they were, and I know
of
that
course.
It's going to happen, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it will. I mean, once you see it, that's for sure a way of actualizing the things that you want. You know, you have to first dream it or see it, and you can create it. So I totally agree with you on that.
Now, is your parents here, or are they still in Nigeria?
My parents are retired now. They moved to Nigeria, but they come back every so often to disrupt our flow, and then they go back. So they come back and forth.
Do you ever go back?
I do, but I don't, because my parents are here, sometimes I don't go back as often. But yeah, I do visit. I do.
That's just exciting to me. that's just exciting
to
me.
And honestly, with me being gone for so long, and then assimilating myself into the American culture, I, in a way, forgot my roots. You know, I forgot certain things that defined me as a Nigerian. And at this age now, I am, like, looking back at 42, like, wait a minute, what is it to be called a Nigerian? What does that mean? You know, so I'm finding myself going back. You know, I'm starting this, I'm going to start this new YouTube channel where it's going to be about me discovering what it is to be a Nigerian. I think I'm going to make my first guest my cousin. I'm just fascinated by the whole, like, I mean, the music now. I grew up there, but yet I don't even know what's in anymore. I don't know much. So because of that, I said, no. I need to know about my culture. This is who I am. Yeah. This is, you know, I'm 100% Nigerian, not half this, half that. No, 100% Nigerian. I should know more. I should know my culture. I should know what it means to be a Nigerian. So that's what I'm planning on doing now. That's my new quest. What does it mean to be a Nigerian?
So I really want to keep up with that so that I can watch. I want to be able to watch.
I would definitely keep you informed on that. I'm gonna start with my parents, like I said, next week. I'm gonna interview them.
Wow, that's wonderful. And then too, it also helps because in your bio you have three children, so it also helps them to learn more about their heritage.
Exactly.
Where they're from, they don't
care. Yeah, right now they don't really care. But I think as they get older, they will appreciate the information that I give them. Right now they don't know it, but, I mean, the little things that my parents said to me or the stories that my grandmother, because, you know, my language, like a lot of languages in Africa, are not written languages. So the things that I know were given to me through stories. And so I'm grateful that my grandmother was from my paternal grandmother did most of it, but was able to share a lot of stories with me. So that I have with me, and I can give that to them. I didn't appreciate it then when they would sit us down and just tell us about, you know, the people that lived in the water or whatever. And how our culture, how our tribe of people came about. You know, I didn't take it seriously, but now that I'm older, I say, wow, those were some very interesting things that I learned. So
yes.
I want to get back into that and share with them as much as I can the language that I know, the part, whatever I know, I want to give it to them. I want to know as much as I can now, and I want to give it back to them. It's like I want to go back.
Yeah. And I think that that happens, like, with, you know, with age and maturity. As you get older, you're like, okay, you begin to realize that those stories that we didn't want to say, like, okay, here we go again. Grandma going to tell one of them stories again. We were like, you know what I mean? We really just didn't want to take the time. But now we realize, wow, I'm glad I did listen because I have that part. I don't have it all, but I have that part that I can still hold on to, and I have the resources that I can find out more. But, you know, and that's probably where your children are.
Exactly. Look, not just I'm glad that I listened, but I didn't even have a choice. I had to listen to whatever was being said. Like, sit there, you will hear this story. It might take 2 hours. I mean, I'm thinking about how there, back home, there was, like, maybe one television, you know, so you had to figure out, I mean, of course, no internet. Right, so you have to like figure out a way to entertain yourself, and I'm sure my grandmother was probably bored or didn't have much to do. So it's like, okay, I have all these grandkids. You guys sit down. I'm gonna tell you guys some stories. We just sat there and had to listen to it. But yeah, you're right. Be able to give it to my kids.
You didn't have a choice.
No, not much.
I know that you are an educator.
Yes.
What was it that you think pulled you or, you know, influenced you to go into that area?
You know, I'm hesitant to answer this question because I don't know if I want to be politically correct or if I want to be completely honest. You know, because I love being around kids. I would say that. I love interacting with them. I love imparting knowledge to them, not just the standards that I have to teach, but information about life, you know, the lessons that I've learned. I love that part. And so being able to do that is a beautiful thing, to know that the things that you do have, or the words that you speak have an impact on these people. It makes you... Well, it makes me very aware of what I say and what I do, because I know for sure that it matters. So I would say I do what I do because of that.
Okay.
So that's why I do. I know what you asked me, but
no,
I
get it.
Yeah.
I get it, because I also work in the education field, but I work with special.
Yeah.
I work in the special ed area, so I know sometimes because you don't know who's listening and who's not listening, and you know you don't want to say the wrong thing because you have to be politically correct, but then you know and being honest at the same time. So you know I understand that, cause, and especially with you know there should be confidentiality with everything, but especially in the area that I work in, I'm a behavior lead, and I work with autism services. So a lot of confidentiality that has to go on there. So I can talk about my work, but I have to be very careful not to mention names and not to mention and that type of thing. So I get it. You have to be politically you know, because you don't know who's listening.
Exactly.
And you don't want to say the wrong thing and put yourself in a wrong kind of life.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, let me tell you that you did very nicely on that question. That was
Thank
a perfect
you.
Answer. That was a perfect
like
answer.
I just, because, I mean, you have to think about why you do what you do. You know, because a lot of times you start off thinking one thing and then you end up doing something else. You know, I think sometimes it's about the where you're heading, not necessarily. I mean, where you come from is important too, but you know, where you're going to me matters a lot. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So you have to, you have to put all that in thought. I really want to get to, because the time goes by really fast, and
I see.
On 30 minutes already. So I really want to get into the book. But before I get to that, I read something in your bio, and it sticks out to me. And it's the part where it says that you have a strong desire to help people realize their self-worth. That sticks out to me because a lot of people, you know, we say things a lot of times that are we saying because it's the biggest thing to say, and you know, and we follow behind. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I know at one time, you know, I know my, you know, saying value was, you know, telling people that you know you I have value and all that was a big thing to say. And I think that's why I named that this show Knowing Your Worth Beyond Value. And the reason I say that is because value is one thing, but it's totally different from worth.
What do you mean?
What I mean, for an example, say for instance, and I'll just use an object. If my son made me an ornament, and he put it only cost him like $1.50 to buy the material and make it, the value, the price of it, is what most people look at. The value of the price of it is not much, but it's worth. The worth to me is priceless because he made it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I meant. Like, for me, I look at value and worth as being something totally different. We all have value, but sometimes we don't realize that our worth is priceless. Because we look at, like, you know, and that's what I mean by the difference between the two. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. I guess I look, I don't know. I've thought that they kind of meant the same thing, like, because they're synonyms of each other. So I guess the way you're putting it, yeah, it can go with that. But, yeah, sure. I just felt like they meant the same thing.
And we interchanged them. And I just looked at it in that way because, you know, I look at it, like I said, that's why I use like an object. You know, the price of it is one thing, and they usually value it at whatever that price is. But it depends on, sometimes for me, if I have an emotional attachment to something or something that someone gives, then it's worth so much more than what I paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I look at it in that way.
Yeah,
so,
you have to know your worth, your value. It must mean something to you. You have to be able to know that. You don't want someone to define your value for you or your worth. You don't want that.
Yes.
I get that.
Yes.
Totally.
So in saying all of that, how do you help people to realize their self-worth?
What I normally do is to, and I can relate this to my profession and just even with some friends and family, is to be able to have people to know. I think for you to know your worth, you need to know who you are. And for you to know who you are, you need to know the things that you like and don't like, and what you're willing to tolerate from people, and what you're willing to give to people. These are the things that you have to understand about yourself to be able to know your worth. If you are in a situation where someone is mistreating you, is speaking to you in a condescending way, they're doing that to you because you don't know that you're worthy of more. If you know that you're worthy of more, then you won't allow that person to speak to you that way. You know, I think for so long, especially in my culture, as a woman, you're not, I wouldn't say you're not allowed, but it's not permissible for you to be vocal about your opinions. You need to suppress that. And I feel like I am important to me. My opinions matter to me. My views matter. So I shouldn't suppress that. I should be able to express myself. And knowing that I deserve more, I want more, I'm not going to settle for something less than that. So I think telling people about that, to know themselves or get to know themselves, knowing what they're willing to settle for, to me is a way for you to know your worth. Because if you're settling for something that isn't making you happy, you're not putting yourself in the highest esteem that you can be. You know, so learning about yourself to me is the biggest way to know your self-worth.
And I think that's important, especially it does, and I think it's important, especially for, like you said, for women. Even here in the States, a lot of times we end up in things and situations and we end up settling and we end up accepting things that we shouldn't because we don't know, you know, we don't think we're worthy of anything else.
Exactly. Exactly. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about just like my dad, you know, telling me that, and he means it with the best intentions, rather, but he would tell me, well, you know, no, you're not gonna get married because you don't serve your man, or you're not gonna get married because you have too much of an opinion You know, so it's like if I have to change myself in order to fit into what they consider to be a good woman. But I feel like there's nothing wrong with me, right? So I should be able to express myself. I should be able to be myself and meet somebody who would love me and be able to express myself and be loved at the same time, you know, because I think I'm important. But, yeah, that whole idea that, you know, you have to almost bring yourself down in order for you to mean something, I think is wrong. You need to know yourself, hold on to yourself, figure out the things that you like, and try your best to express those things because, you know, you have this one life. You don't want to look back at it and say, you know, I wish I did this, I wish I did that, when you can do it now. So, yeah, it's important to love yourself and know your self-worth for sure.
And, yeah, and I think that, you know, it's like I said, it's the same way in the States a lot of times because, you know, and I don't know whether it has, like, this, if it's just society itself or if it's mm-hmm. the way the was raised or, you know, because a lot of times with women, what we grew up seeing, well, women and men,
yeah.
what we grow up seeing is what we, you know, we mimic. You know, that's what we learn from. And, you know, if we, you know, say, for instance, if we saw our mothers, you know, accepting and just putting up with certain things, you know, who we look to teach us how to be a
yeah.
woman, sometimes find ourselves, unless we're strong enough to think differently, or we have that drive in us to think differently, a lot of times we end up doing the same thing. Well, my mama did it,
oh,
so, you know, this must be the way.
Definitely. So many things that I was, like, trying to avoid doing that my mom did, I end up doing it. And then she looked at me shaking her head like, wow, you're just like me. So, yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that one. But I had to say, you know, you still have to find your way through this planet, you know, to this life. You still gotta find you. You know, even though I find myself doing things or acting like her in some ways, you know, I still gotta figure out who I am. I still gotta push forward. I gotta be able to live this life for myself, you know, so.
Yeah, because when you recognize, like, I say some things, you know, I find myself saying stuff to my son that my mom would have said. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
How old is your son?
My son is 15. He'll be 16 in May.
Okay, cool. I have a 16-year-old daughter.
It's cool sometimes.
I know, right?
Yeah, because that teenage stage is kind of iffy, you know? Right
yeah.
now, me and him are friends, but we just became friends because we weren't friends before.
Cool.
Like, you know?
That's beautiful.
But, you know, and all said and done, you know, I love him, and I know he loves me, and I know it's a part of growing
yeah.
up. And I was just telling him the other day, we had a serious conversation, which we don't have very often, and I was
mm-hmm.
telling him the other day, I said, son, you know, I've made mistakes. I haven't made all the right choices, you know, because I'm human.
Mm.
I'm not perfect. I said, what you have to understand, there's no handbook. You can see all these books out there, how to be the perfect parent, how to raise the perfect teen. I said, I don't believe in any of that because every child is different. I said, every parent is different. I said, so I said, you know, I didn't have a handbook for these things. I said, so, you know, if I've made mistakes and you're upset about them, then we're going to have to find a way to figure out how to let's talk about it and move on because I can't go
mm-hmm.
back and I can't go back and redo. I have
exactly.
to learn from what mistake I made, and we have to move forward from here. But don't continue to hold those mistakes that I've made against me because I was
right.
winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did what I was taught to do.
Of course.
You know, what I saw growing up.
Yeah.
You know, which is the same thing as how we are in relationships and how we see ourselves because we see what, you know, we take on what we see when we're growing up.
Yeah.
That's our examples, you know. So, you know, I meant to tell you at the beginning, sometimes the show kind of just goes. That's why I don't give questions, like, really in the beginning, because I just want the show to flow like
cool.
a conversation. So however it flows,
cool.
I just let it flow.
Exactly.
I really, really want to talk about chasing the horizon.
Chasing the horizon. That's my baby.
Yes.
that is my heart.
I love it. How did that, how did the concept of that book come to you?
So there was a time when I was just thinking, a friend of mine was talking to me about her experiences with her, from her past relationships and the marriages she was in and how she wanted to be out of it and the guy that she's been attracted into her life. You know, I had just come out of the relationship that I've been in with my kid's dad. And so we were having a discussion about the guy, type of guys that we've attracted into our lives. And we were like, we were such good girls. How did we get these type of guys in our lives? And, you know, we were really good girls, like did the right thing. They say, you know, wait till it's time to do this. We did. Don't be promiscuous. We didn't. I mean, we were not promiscuous. We did what was expected, the typical good girl thing, you know. And we ended up yet with some guys that are jerks or whatever. Thinking about how, first of all, I do believe like attracts like. So for me to attract someone who is going to mistreat me means that I didn't love myself, right? I didn't know my self-worth.
Wow.
So, you know, with that conversation, you know, as we're doing now, one leads to another, you know, we were like, you know, what would it have been like had we, you know, followed a different path? You know, if I want to go out with this guy, I went with him. If I wanted to do whatever I wanted to do, I just did it opposed to trying to follow this rule or this guideline that people say you should do in order to be this quote-unquote good girl. And so the book came from that, with me thinking about just taking a different path. Had I taken a different path? And I just didn't care what anyone thought. And I say, you know what, I just want to do what I want to do. How different would my life go? So that is kind of how the book came about.
Wow. And that's interesting because I never thought about that. I never thought about, had I, you know, of course I thought of, you know, thought about, had I not been with this person, then, you know, this wouldn't have happened. But I never thought about the way you said it when you said that, you know, if this is all that I'm attracting, then it must mean I wasn't happy. I didn't really know my self-worth. I never thought about it in that way. And it actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because
so,
if
yeah,
we knew, you know, it made a lot. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Because if you, I mean, cause I don't think I would have stayed in the relationship that I was in if I loved myself or I believed in myself. You know, if I really, because the guy that I met in the past, he couldn't come to me today. You know what I mean? That man who I had these kids with couldn't to me today because I won't tolerate that from him, you know? And that's because I know myself. I love me, so I'm not going to, like, you love your son, right? You're not going to stand for someone mistreating him. You know, you're going to speak up for him. So I protect myself that same way. I love me. So, no, you're not going to bring me down. You're not going to say things to me that will make me feel bad about me. And if you do, I'm out of there. I'm not going to tolerate that, you know. So the person who I am today will not tolerate that because I love me. And so, yeah, that book, it's so beautiful because it's a woman who is getting to know herself and not really giving a crap about what people think. She's like, I'm going to do what I want to do because this is my life, and I'm going to find me and my happiness by all means necessary. Goodbye. So yeah, that's
I love it.
Yeah, that's my book. That's my baby.
I love
like,
it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You go ahead.
Writing the book was a way of me trying to like live vicariously through the character. You know, like yeah, yes. I would love. Honestly, it's like I would love to do this. I would love to. Shoot, if I could, I would. You know, so writing a book was a lot of fun. It was fun. You gotta read the book. You gotta get the book and read it because it's funny. It's sexual. It's not for the timid and the lighthearted people. It's a grown folks book. And I said funny and I say sexual because it is definitely that. So,
okay.
But it's a good book. You gotta get it and read it.
Wow, and you know what? It kind of ties into everything. Like when you're explaining it, it kind of ties into everything in the way your life has gone. You left Nigeria. You came here because you were you really wanted to see what it was that you know. You came here. You had open opportunities. So you're like, okay, you know what I mean? And then even with relationships, you know what I'm saying? Now you know, now that you found out who you are and you know your worth, you're like, okay, you know, if this same kind of dude comes to me, I'm not going to accept that. You know,
oh,
and
no.
It kind of goes along with your whole life. Like even, like I said, coming here and finding all those opportunities and keep reaching for more because it wasn't what you were accustomed to there. But when you got here,
right.
It's like, okay. You know, I don't have to limit myself. I'm just gonna go. And this, she didn't limit herself. She just obviously, you know, went for what, and she didn't care. You know, you didn't mind that. You know, you wanted to have you know more opportunities than just one. You didn't want to settle and be in a box and just learn math. You know, you wanted more. And that's
I
think a lot of times with women, we don't all like. Especially being single, we have this little thing about being single that we think is just the worst thing ever. But that's a good time to find out who
it is,
you are. Yeah, sometimes it is. Trust me. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. I'm saying that now
because being in a relationship, you know,
it's
nice. Takes a lot. It's beautiful, but it's a lot of work at times. You know, I guess when I was with my kid's dad, I don't know why. Then, but it's the relationship that I'm in now. It's maybe I want it, you know, and I love him. So, I see the work. I see the work that it takes to make it work, you know. But I didn't see the work then, maybe because I wasn't really happy then, so I didn't see the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it takes work. To really make it work, you gotta put in the work. You gotta,
exactly. And it takes.
Yeah.
If you're in the right relationship, it's a good thing. It's gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no perfect relationship. There's no, you know,
no.
There's no perfect relationship at all. You're gonna have your ups. You're gonna have your downs. That's with marriage or just you know dating, courtship, however you describe it. It's gonna take work, like you said. And if you're in the right one. You know, it's a wonder. It's a good thing. You don't mind putting in the work, but when you're in the wrong relationship, it's that's when you're just like you don't want to put in any effort. You just you know, and I'm trying to choose my words correctly this time. You don't want to. I'm trying to be politically correct.
I get it.
You
want to make sure that the person. I mean, the person who you're with has to want it too. You
exactly.
Know, and they have to want
and
to put in the work.
If you're doing it all yourself, then,
so,
yeah,
I mean,
if you're doing all the work in yourself and they're not putting forth any effort, then it's like, It's just
you're
going to
be miserable.
Yeah.
You're
not
going to
be happy.
You're not, because you always find yourself nagging, pulling, and in distress because you're doing all the work, you know. But if you come in and he comes in and you guys are able to communicate about whatever you're feeling and he cares, and, you know, when you express it, and, you know, I mean, he's not always going to care, but, and neither are you. But at some point, you know, the two of you, I mean, at some point, the two of you, you know, care about it, to fight for it. I mean, it's worth it. You know, that's when it keeps going. But if
exactly.
You're the only one carrying the load, coming to him, or he's the only one coming to you, yeah, you're not happy. And why is it that you're the only one finding out how to make the relationship work?
And by the time you realize that, you're like, ugh, it's been all these years. Like, I'm doing all the work here, you know? And then you're just like,
yeah.
You know, so I understand. But, you know, you can't get to that point where you're in the right relationship until you know your self-worth. Because you end up in something that's like, you know,
less
that's
than
why
what you deserve.
Exactly. That's why when you are single, don't look at it as a horrible thing, but look at
yes.
it as a time to find out what you like, what you don't like, what you will put up
yes.
with, what you won't,
definitely.
What you really want, and
definitely.
Learn yourself
that's
so
true.
That when you get in that right relationship,
speak on
it's going to be
beautiful. You're absolutely correct. I think people who go out, well, I shouldn't say people because I don't know everybody. I would say a lot of times the situation, okay, let me speak on me then. I think when I was single and I went out looking and needed to have it at that moment, I think I did that because I didn't believe that what I deserve was going to come. So it's like, no, I got to have it now. I got to have it now. You know, I didn't allow myself to figure me out, like you say.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a girlfriend who kept telling me, you know, even my daughter too kept, would remind me, like, Why do you think it won't happen? And I was like, I didn't say that. But it's like, then why are you in a rush to get somebody? You know, it's like, if you know a bus, and this is when it hit me. If you're standing at the bus stop and you miss one bus and you're at a bus stop, you know another bus is going to come. Like, let's say the bus is stopped running at 11 p.m., there will be another one. It may not come till 6 o'clock, but another bus will come.
Yes.
So it's like you wait and you do. In the meantime, you do something for you. You figure, like you said, figure you out. Do things. Like if you're at the bus stop, you know, the bus, you miss the 11 o'clock bus. The next one is coming at 6 a.m. What are you going to do there? You're going to be standing there angry? Are you going to sit there kicking rocks? You know, like, what are you going to do with that? Right. What are you going to do with that time while you're waiting for the bus to come? Because that's what you,
yeah.
I mean, technically that's what you're doing. So I'm like, use that time to do something for you. Yes, you're going to want him. You know, yes, you're going to feel lonely at times. Yes,
yeah.
You're going to feel all those things. Yes, you're going to feel like, when is it going to come? You're going to question that. Of course, you're a human being. But you got to believe that it is going to come. So in that time that you're waiting, do something. Write down the things you like and don't like. Write down what you expect him to look like, feel like, what you're going to do with him when he does come. You know, get excited about that. Look forward
yeah.
to the bus coming, opposed to being angry that you have to sit there and wait for it. Because it will come. You know, it's too many people on this planet, too many billions, for you to say, no, I will never find. The heck? Honestly, how could you say that? It's too many, you know, people would say, oh, in Atlanta, you're not going to, it's too many. I'm like, bull crap. Why not? Why wouldn't I find, I won't find somebody. Of course I will. It's insane. You know, I think my thing was, you know, I needed it now. You know, so I had to calm down. Okay, it's going to happen. So once I calmed down and I let it go, do things that I liked, literally, before I knew it, there he was.
The bus came.
The bus came, and it was like, okay, let's go. And then you start to say, wait a minute, do I want to get on this bus? I know I've been waiting for the bus to go. And then you get on the bus, and then the bus starts going, and you're like, wait a minute, hold on. I thought we were going, you know, what kind of, so you start to see that, you know, it takes work. You know, it's not just you get on the bus and you go here. You know, there's stops, there are turns, there are just different things that you're going to experience. But ultimately, when, like you said, when you find the right one, it really is worth it, and you do want to put in work to make it work because you love the person. You don't want to lose them, you know, so you're willing to put in the work. So I didn't get that before because I had not been in a relationship with someone that I truly loved, but now I get it. It does take work. Yeah,
it takes work.
Totally.
It takes work.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think one of the key things that you know, I love the way you described it using the bus. And the key thing that I've never heard it described that way, but I like that. And just so you know, in case you hear it again, I may use that to explain something to somebody.
But I love that. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead. Just as from the author Author
Fahaya
going up.
Yes. I say, so let me tell you how she described it. And I'll, you know, just so you'll know in case you hear it again. But I think that one of the key things that you said was when you stop focusing on that and focusing on the fact that you missed that bus and that bus wasn't there yet, and you started focusing on you and got your mind off of it, before you knew it, the bus was there.
Exactly.
He was there.
No, exactly. But it always happens that way, doesn't it? Like, you can't find your keys. You look everywhere for your keys, everywhere. You turn your bed upside down. You go in the refrigerator. You're like, maybe I put it in the fridge. You know, you open the freezer even. Where could these keys be? And you turn your house upside down, literally. And then you sit down on the floor. You're like, okay, you know what? Maybe I'll call in because I can't find these keys. You sit down on the floor. You reach to your right to get your phone. And what do you see? Your
keys.
You know, it's like, so once you surrender, once you give in and you allow the process to just take place, boom, that's when it happens.
That's when it happens.
I think a lot of us are not, we're not used to just giving in. We want it, like I said, we need it now. It hasn't happened. When is it gonna, you know, that anxious feeling is what stops it from coming in. But once you calm down and just relax, say,
just
you know
relax.
What, this is all, just relax. I can't do anything. You know, it's like literally going in, going to the beach and trying to find a particular type of sand, just a grain of, just, you know, it's how do you do that? You know,
exactly.
Let it be. Just allow it to take place. Do all you can. If you feel like going online to date, go online. If you feel like going to the bar, go to the bar. You know, if you feel like going to the rest, wherever, do that. Do what you feel like you need to do. But at some point, you have to give in. You know, let whatever you believe in, God, the universe, whatever, let that lead you. Let it come into you. Have you read the book, The Alchemist?
No, I haven't read that one.
Yeah, well, I heard Will Smith in an interview talking about it, and I read that book. really powerful, basically saying that no matter what you do, you know, you're leading or you're being led to your destiny. Like, the if you want something, the universe is conspiring. You know, it's working for you. If you want something, go, continue, go. Even if it looks like it's not happening, you just keep moving because the universe is conspiring to create for you. So my thing is, believe in whatever it is that you want. Work towards that. And, of course, knowing who you are. And, you know, you don't have to know everything about you. You just need to know a little bit about what you want, and just kind of walk in that light, and it will somehow, when you least expect it, truly, when you least expect it, it will be right in front of you.
And I believe that too. I believe that, you know, if you just let the process, everybody has a process. What God's process is for me may not be what God's process is for someone else. But whatever the process is, if you just let the process go, and I'm a strong believer in, if you want something, you got to put in the work. You got to work towards
it. Definitely.
But if you sit and you focus on the negative of a thing, then it's only going to make you depressed, sad, and just going to turn your whole life upside down. Don't focus on the negative of the thing. Work toward, you know, the positive, and follow, let your process. Just relax and go with your process. And you'll
Definitely.
Get where you're supposed to be. And just trust your process.
Remember the Secret, that show or that book or that whatever that used to come on? They used to come on Oprah?
Yeah.
Do you remember it? Yeah.
The show that came on.
They used to say,
go ahead.
No, it used to be where people were thinking, you know, if you just think it, it'd be. You know, like,
you know,
I think that was, I used to watch the video. That was a part of the video where the guy was thinking about $1 million, and then he went to the mailbox and there was $1 million or something like that. You know, but sometimes, can't say sometimes it doesn't happen that way, though, you know. But most times you gotta put in the work. I mean, you can go and play the lottery and get $1 million too. But I think you're right. I was just going to agree with you and say, you know, you just can't. I mean, you can do that too, and it'll come. But sometimes work is necessary in order to produce the things that you want in life.
Exactly.
Because I know before I met my boyfriend now. People were telling me I needed to go out. I needed to get social. Like, come on, Bahia, you need to be out there. But I didn't feel like I should, you know, because I wasn't being called to do that. And they were like, do you think he's going to come knocking on your door? I said, maybe. And exactly that. He came to what we call knocking up the door. It's this thing where Nigerians do when you're about to get married. The husband comes in and he, like, tells the family, the wife's family, that he wants to marry the wife. So it's like knocking on the door. So he comes and knocks on the door and tells the family, I want to marry your daughter. And that's how I met him, at a knocking of the door. Exactly. So you just never know, you know.
Wow.
You're being called to do. I know we're about to run out of time, but
it's perfectly fine because I always extend it just a few extra minutes just so in case we get in a good conversation like this, and we're in a good conversation. So it's actually pretty. I like the way that just kind of like was like, you know how to say mind blown. That was one of those moments when it was actually like the knocking of the door, and he found you.
Exactly.
That's my belief because, you know, the word says the man who findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor. So, you know, a lot of times, you can be social. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing. I don't disagree with any of that. But you know,
yeah.
he'll find. I believe that he'll find you. You know, and you know, you do whatever you know that you're called to do. And see,
right.
you knew that you weren't didn't have to go out there.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't.
I didn't
pull to do that.
No, I mean, people would tell me that, like, come on by, let's go, and I did it, but. I was like, golly, this is not me. I don't like going to these bars and these clubs. Like, I don't want to do that, you know? And literally, I remember a friend of mine telling me, do you think he's going to come knocking on your door? I said, maybe. It's like that. And literally, I met him at a knocking on the door. And this man has been, like, loving. This man has been thinking about me for years, you know, and then knocking at the door that I went to, I almost didn't even go to it, you know,
wow.
and he's been like trying to like figure out a way for us to come together. He's been trying. Now, I wasn't even aware of that, you know, so I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing, you know, to know that, somebody is thinking, and even with that too, I was telling him too, like, the things that he wants to accomplish in life, and I was like making the whole analogy to how he met me, that I wasn't thinking about him like that, but he was thinking about me. I was in a relationship, he was in a relationship, you know, but there was no way we were going to meet. But here we are now. And I was telling him that, you know, you were thinking about me, you wanted me, but from where you were and where I was, how could we have come together? You know,
exactly.
There's no way that could have happened. You know, but you wanted it. And now you got me. I'm something that you wanted. It took years, but here I am. I'm like, maybe had you said something to me years ago, who knows? Maybe we would have got together. I don't know. But with you not speaking on it, acting on it, it took a long time. And when you did, you got what you wanted. So I'm telling him too, and I'm telling myself this and whoever else is listening, that, you know, if you see something that you want, yeah, definitely go with what you feel. Make take some steps towards that goal. Eventually,
absolutely.
Whatever it is that you want, it will actualize. It will. If you make some steps to it, now the degree to which it comes, I don't know. But will you get what you want? Yeah. What you ask for? Yeah. Isn't there something in the Bible that says God grants your deepest desire or something like that?
If that, it says, I think the scripture that you're talking about, if your ways please him, he will give you the desires of your heart.
Exactly. And I'm like,
yeah.
who puts this desire in my heart if not you? You know, so of course he's going to grant it because he put this in me. I didn't put this in me. You know, so if this in you and you feel it strongly that is for you, take some steps. It will happen. For me to say I was going to, maybe I will meet him, he might come knocking on my door, and I met him at a knocking on the door.
That's just amazing to me. But I believe that, you know, even though he was looking at you and you didn't even notice that it was meant at that time. It was meant for
was
him to come at the knocking of the door, you know.
Yeah,
I
wasn't going to be there.
And I giggled when you said that because we had just had like a what we call a chat and chew the other night with the women's department, and we were all sitting together, and you know, the question came about, and you know, it was said, you know, I made the comment, and I make it all the time, that, you know, I told God, when you send him, I want to be so focused on something else. I want to be so focused on working and doing what it is that you would have me to do, serving my purpose and, you know, and all that I don't even know that he's watching. So when you said you didn't even know that he was watching you, but he was watching, you know,
nope.
He was looking, and you didn't even realize it because you weren't focused on that. You will focus on you and doing what you wanted to do and reaching your other goals, and you were so focused on that you didn't even recognize it.
Girl,
and that's what I had
didn't
thought.
Even notice. Didn't even know he felt that way about me, you know. And of course, later on, people started to tell me, "Oh, he's always satisfied by you." So it's like, wow, this man has been thinking about being with me for over 13 years.
Wow.
Really? Amazing to me. You know, so, yeah, you're right. You just, you never know who's watching you. You just never know. If you, just continue doing what you're doing, it will. It just does. And plus, there's too many people on this. I think if you open to it, it'll come. There's too many people for one to say, it's not going to happen. Why not? You know, I know people who have done a lot of stuff, you know, and they have boyfriends and husbands. And I'm a pretty good person. So I'm pretty sure I'll get one. That's what I used to tell myself. Like, nice, I'll get me one because I'm a good person. I'm a good one. I'm a good catch. It happens. You know, so, I totally feel like you continue doing what you're doing. Eventually, when you least expect it, you surrender to it. It'll come.
Exactly. We got to close out, and I don't want to because this is getting... and this always happens to me. The conversation gets so good, and then it gets close time to close out. But the one thing that you said that, you know, that I think that is important to stress is that, you know, everybody was telling you what you needed to do, and you needed to be here, you needed to be there, and you tried it, but you didn't feel comfortable because inside you knew that wasn't what you wanted to do. And I think it's important that people understand that, you know, people are going to tell you this. People are going to tell you you need this and you need that. That's why it's important to know what you like and what you want because if not, you'll find yourself doing things that you're not really comfortable with, but you're like, okay, I'll give it a try. So you'll know, no, that's not, I'm not really feeling that. And it's okay to even tell your friends, nah, girl, you go ahead, that's not my thing, you know, especially if you know. But if you don't know what you like and you don't know what you're comfortable with, you end up, you know, in those situations, you know.
Yeah,
so
I always say if you don't define yourself, others will define you for you, you know. So you got to know. I mean, they try, you know, for how you go here, for how you do that. It's not going to happen if you do this. I'm like, no, I am so good. Literally, I even at one point, like, no, I'm not talking to anybody. Because you guys are not going to make me. First of all, then I'm like, wait a minute, what's wrong with me being alone? Why can't, you know, even my daughter, like, I can be by myself. You know, she too would say, like, it's okay. Like, there was nothing wrong with me the way I was. Nothing wrong.
Exactly.
So, eventually it comes. And I'm glad, too, that I was able to follow my feelings and honor who I am and allow the process to unfold for me to meet him, because I really love him, and it's a good feeling, really, to be loved by somebody. You know, I mean, you know, your children love you and all that, but to have
it's a different thing.
To have that person to love you and want you and want the best for you and think about your goals and the things that affect you affect him. God, I mean, I feel good about that. I want others to find that.
Yeah, and even just hearing you talk about it, it's almost like you're glowing and got a big smile on your face. Even just talking about it. See how
I am, because I know even when I told him I was having this interview, you know, he was just texting me, telling me things that I can say, you know, just being positive and just sweet, you know. So yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Like, he wants me to prosper. Yeah, not for him, for me, because that's my dream.
That's
he wants my dream to actualize. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And I want the same for him.
And see, a relationship should never take from you. It should always add. You know,
exactly.
Even if you have ups and downs, because everybody has ups and downs because we're human, we're going to have disagreements, but it should always add to you. It should never take away from you.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
With that being said, I hate to end the conversation, but we're going to be signing off in just a few minutes, but I want you to let the listeners know where they can find you, where they can follow you, and how they can purchase your book.
Okay, my book can be purchased on Amazon, Chasing the Horizon. If you type that in, it'll pop up. You can also purchase the book on my website, Fahaya. Well, I need to spell that. FAGHAYAI.com. My first name, .com. And I can be followed on Facebook, Fahaya Ogun, O-G-O-U-N. And on Instagram. So
all
there
right.
You have it.
Yes, it has been so good. Now I'm going to try this again for Hayai. Did I say it right?
Oh, you did. Yeah, that was beautiful. You did great.
I'm so proud of myself. You don't know
you
how proud of myself I am. And I'm giggling because I'm just so proud of myself.
You did great.
It was so good talking to you. And I am going to be, because you have my email, and I'm going to be looking forward to, I'm going to go on Amazon, and I'm going to get the book.
Yay.
I'm going to be looking to the YouTube video. Please let me know when you started.
Yes.
So I can share
it
on all my social media.
Oh, my God. Yes, I'm going to definitely tell you about it because I'm really excited about it because I've been into the music and the whole culture. And, you know, I usually don't even wear, I mean, I'm Nigerian, but I don't wear the African attire. But I've even been wearing that culture now. So, yeah, I can't wait to get started. And I most definitely would tell you about it. Yeah, definitely.
Yes, please let me know. I'm going to look you up on Facebook. So we can stay connected.
Yes.
And like I said, I'm going to, you know, just shoot me an email. Let me know how to get to the link on the YouTube video because I want to watch it because I would love to learn too. And I was just interested in learning about the culture. And I want to be able to share it on all my social media and advertise it on the show so people can listen.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Oh, that would be so nice.
You know,
thank you.
I am so – it's exciting for me. And, you know, I haven't gotten a chance to travel there yet. But you know what? At least I can travel through you and through watching your video until that day.
You know, yeah, you had a guest, Maxie, Shakita.
Yeah.
Shakita. Maxie. She and I spoke. Yeah. She and I spoke about, she introduced me to you, but she and I spoke about going to Nigeria. She wants to go to Nigeria too. So, you know, maybe we can all go together one day, you know?
I would love that. I would love that. I'm waiting for my passport so that I can have all that taken care of. I would love to go.
Yeah, like maybe
I
next
would
year
love
or
to go.
Something. Yeah, we
yes.
can plan out and go out there. That'd be so much fun.
Yes, I would love that. Now I'm really excited. But I believe that I believe that people, you know, that the people God sent in my life are, you know, are connections, like divine connections. You know, so
definitely.
Through me meeting Shakita, Maxie, and then her introducing me to you, and then us being on the show, and it's all, you know, and now, like I said, I speak those things that are not as though they were. Now we're going to travel to Nigeria together.
That would be so great.
That would be so great.
We need to do that. I'm looking forward
to
that.
And I will be in Atlanta in a couple of weeks. So we have to meet. Yeah, I'm going to be I'll message you, but I'm going to message. I know a lot of people there, so I'm going to message a couple of people to let them know I'm coming down there. I'll be there on the 14th and the 15th. So,
okay, perfect.
I'm going to, and then that way we can meet up. And it's going to
be great.
and another partner, you know, a friend of mine, and, you know, we're business partners, and some more friends of mine, they're coming down with me. So
okay,
I'll look you up. Oh,
that
I'm
would
so
be
excited.
Fantastic. I am too.
So, I am so excited. Okay, well, I'm going to close out the show. You can stay on for a few seconds. I'm just going to close it out real quick. Thank you again so much for being on the show. This has been wonderful. This has been absolutely wonderful. And please, please keep me in contact with the YouTube show, because I want to be able to.
I certainly will.
Yes. I want to thank everybody for listening to another episode of the Be Inspired with Michelle G Show. This has been one of the most amazing shows. I have really enjoyed talking with you. I've really enjoyed it. It has been inspirational for me, and it's been eye-opening. And I got a new way of describing waiting on the right person with the bus.
There we go.
I'm going to take that. And I think we've formed a newfound friendship. This is going to be wonderful, and I'm just grateful for tonight. And I hope and I pray that this show, as I do with all shows, has been an inspiration and a motivation to someone. So thank you again for joining us on the Be Inspired with Michelle G Show. Meet me here next week, next Wednesday, beginning at 6:30 for another episode. Thank you, and as I always say, good night and be blessed.